Praise the Lord. This is our fourth message on this revival series. We have already handled freedom from all sin, freedom from all love of self, freedom from all love of the world and love of everything that is in the world. And in our sharing today, we shall be looking at freedom from all falsehood. Freedom from all falsehood. David said in Psalms 51 verse 6, I'll read the King James Version. Psalms 51 verse 6, it says, "Thou desirest truth in the inward being. Therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart." You desire truth. God desires truth in our inner being. So this, what we are sharing on, is about truth in our inward being. It's about truth in our secret heart. There is much falsehood in the world today. Even in the church, truth is lacking. This is the most serious lack. For it hinders God enormously. God cannot do anything useful through a person who claims to be saved, who claims to be regenerated, yet continue to practice falsehood in one area of his life or the other. No one can truly practice truth in one area of his life while deliberately practicing falsehood in another. Falsehood must be abandoned completely and radically. And the truth must be embraced with the total man, spirit, soul, and body. Truth must be embraced. Truth thus embraced will flow from the spirit to the soul, then to the body, and from the body it will flow out. What most believers need today is to cry out as the psalmist did, saying, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and put a right spirit within me." That's what we see in Psalms 51 verse 10. And that's what many believers ought to cry out today. "Create in me, O Lord, a clean heart, and put a right spirit within me." That cries come from a heart that have, from heart that have seen falsehood for what it is, and are desperate to get right with God and remain right with Him. Such will cry out and continue to cry out until God has done that which only Him can do. While they cry out and continue to cry out to Him, they will cooperate with Him by recognizing all falsehood in their lives. Confess every lie, forsake every appearance of falsehood, receiving a clean heart from the Lord and carrying out the needed restitution. In this way, they will enroll in the school of truth, and as they abide and continue in that school, more and more will be shown to them, leading to deeper repentance. And more will be done to them in them, bringing them into greater conformity to Him who is the truth, even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is an extract from the book, The School of Truth, by Professor Zakaria Tanifomo. So what I've just read is an extract from that book. In our lesson today, most of what we shall be sharing shall be reading from that book. And I encourage you to look for a copy of that book, read it. In 1992, I was about to go on a retreat. And I asked Brother Zach, who was discipling me then, which book I should read. What should I do on this retreat? And he told me, "Take a copy of The School of Truth, go and read it during this retreat." It was a retreat that was to take me 2 weeks. and he advised me to take this book along. I went within that period, read the book, studied the book, prayed the book through in my life, and I can tell you that it left a deep impact in my life. When I came back again, he told me to go the second time, taking the same book again. And I strongly believe that if you do that, take that book, The School of Truth, even just get some of the messages we are sharing from here that come from that book, and then you follow them and then pray them through in your life will never be the same. And as we said, we are sharing today on freedom from all falsehood. What is falsehood? Falsehood is the absence of truth. What a man does that is untrue is falsehood. When what a man knows or what God knows as the truth is not what a man is speaking out or what a man is portraying outwardly, that man is practicing falsehood. When the inside and the outside don't correspond, the man is living in what is called falsehood. God knows something else and you are speaking something else, or you know something else and you are speaking or living something else, you are actually practicing falsehood. So when the inside and the outside don't correspond, there is a discrepancy between the inside and the outside. That is what falsehood is. Falsehood may manifest itself through lies telling, through hypocrisy, through exaggerating a story, or even minimizing a story which you heard, through deceit, through dishonesty, through simulation, through omission, through denial, through the distortion of truth. So the person who is practicing hypocrisy, who is telling lies, who is exaggerating story, who omits stories, who speaks and then he has forgotten something and he makes up something else and add to it, is actually practicing falsehood. And that is what we are sharing on today, this truth in the inner man. This truth in the secret heart. This truth that which only God knows, you and God knows what the truth is. When it is absent, you are living in falsehood. The Bible is clear. All liars will be in the lake of fire. That's the danger of falsehood. In Revelation chapter 21 verse 8, it says that all liars, all who practice lies, will be in the lake of fire. And in chapter 21 verse 27, I will read, it says, but nothing unclean shall enter it, that is entering heaven, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. One of the marks that a man's name has been written in the book of life is that he has terminated with falsehood. When a person continues to live in lies, live in hypocrisy, live in deceit, exaggerating story, that may be an indication that his name is not in the book of life. So the danger of falsehood is that the person who continues to practice it will find himself outside that celestial city. He will not go to heaven. The Bible tells us equally in John chapter 8 verse 44, talking about those who practice falsehood, those who tell lies, those who tell lies. The Bible says that they belong to the devil. Their father is actually the devil. He says you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer and in the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. There is no truth in Satan. Satan does not hold to the truth. When he lies, he speaks his native language. I don't know what your native language is, but Satan's native language is called lies. When Satan speaks, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So all those who practice falsehood, all those who play hypocrisy, all those who exaggerate stories, all those who hide the truth, who cover the truth, or who tell lies, they are actually children of the devil. Going back to the book, The School of Truth, which we mentioned earlier, we will just look at some thoughts on falsehood. I have just brought out some extracts from the book, The School of Truth. Some thoughts on lying and falsehood. A liar is a person whose heart believes one thing and his lips says another. When your heart believes something else and your mouth is speaking something else, you are a liar. Liars cannot make spiritual progress. They are blocked. So every lie you tell blocks you. You cannot move to the next level that God actually plans for you. Not only in your relationship with God, but also with man. From the moment that people discover that you are a liar, nobody can confide in you. Liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So liars will go to hell. There will be no one who dies as a liar who will not go to hell. So everybody who dies as a liar will go to hell. So if you are living in lies and suddenly something happened to you and you fall and you die, it means that you have actually died a candidate of hell. So those who practice falsehood shall not enter the city of God. The sin of lying is as grievous before God as the sin of cowardice, the sin of faithlessness, the sins of murder, the sin of fornication, the sin of adultery, the sin of sorcery, and the sin of idolatry. That's what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. It puts the sin of lies telling at the same level with the sin of adultery. So a liar is equally classified before God like an adulterer, like a fornicator, like a murderer. So you may never have killed a man, but before God, when you tell a lie, you are at the same level like a murderer. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life abandon every form of falsehood, every form of lies telling in their life. If your name is in that book, from the moment your name enters that book, and your name enters that book, when you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you find the way, you walk in the truth. And he who walks in the truth will find life. Jesus is the way. If you have found him the way, and then you have taken that way, you walk in the truth. And as you walk in the truth, you will know life. From the moment you decide to begin to live a lie, to practice falsehood, you have actually decided to abandon the way of life. Stealing is falsehood of considering someone else's property as yours and therefore taking it away at your pleasure. So a person who is living stealing is actually practicing falsehood. You see somebody's property, you take it and pretend as if it is. It's not yours. You are lying. The same thing with immorality. A fornicator is practicing falsehood because he is living as if he's married, sleeping with people already as if he's married. He's not married. Adultery is the falsehood of saying sleeping with somebody else's married partner as if it is your married partner. You are practicing the sin of falsehood. Gluttony is the falsehood of thinking that one needs food that he does not actually need. So a glutton just living in falsehood, thinking, I need more and more food, more and more food, more and more food. If a man abandons falsehood, many sin in his life will crumble. Many practice the falsehood of saving money and believing that they are also serving God. You cannot serve money, mammon, and serve God at the same time. Many commit the sin of lying and go on as if nothing had happened, hardly realizing that they have lost communion with God from the moment they lied. The first warning of the Bible is that everyone who loves and practices falsehood will be outside the city of God. God cannot lie. God has never lied. God can never ask anyone to lie on his behalf. No lie can ultimately advance the kingdom of God. So anybody who tells a lie, and that in his preaching, in his ministry, thinking that your lies will advance the kingdom of God, your lie actually blocks the kingdom of God. You cannot stop lies telling on your own. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to set you free. And that's why we are sharing on freedom from all falsehood. He has the power to set you free from the sin of lies telling, from the sin of falsehood. Turn to him. Turn to the Lord Jesus and let him deliver you from every falsehood in your life. So you can be set free from the sin of falsehood. You can be set free from the sin of hypocrisy, from the sin of lies telling. And that's why we are sharing this message. Freedom from all falsehood. Because from the moment that there are lies, falsehood in your life, God cannot use you. Because God and lies don't go together. Let's also raise some few thoughts on truth. God is the author of truth. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Truth flows from the heart in which the spirit of God reigns. Truth is the way of life for the overcomer. When the Holy Spirit dwells in a person's heart, that which flows from the man's heart is truth. He cannot continue to live in lies telling because the spirit of truth lives in him. Truth liberates. Truth liberates always. Truth liberates in a permanent way. If you set yourself to walk in truth, you will know freedom. Truth always will win. You may live in falsehood and think that you are winning for that moment. It's only a matter of time. Your lies will eventually find you out. Those who will speak the truth must be prepared to face opposition. Those who speak the truth must be prepared to suffer for it. Those who speak the truth must speak it all at all times. Those who speak the truth must speak it before men. Those who speak the truth must speak it first to themselves. Those who are true are first of all true in their hearts. Truth begins from your heart. Those who are true are secondly true in their soul. Then they are true in their body. Those who are true are not moved by the apparent success of liars. People may tell lies, and for that moment, they seem to be succeeding. Those who are true, they are not moved. They know that those people who seem to be succeeding while telling lies, they are putting up a building that has no foundation, because truth is the foundation upon which the future is built. Those who are true have nothing to hide. Those who are liars are uncomfortable. Those who are true, they have nothing to be afraid of. Those who are true are free wherever they may be. So when you are constantly covering, when they ask you, where are you? And then you start trying to speak, and you can't even speak clearly. It is because you are hiding something. Those who are true, they hide nothing. They are afraid of nothing. They are uncomfortable about nothing. Truth at all times is the fruit of costly cultivation. You will need to decide in the depth of your being that you will speak the truth, and if need be, die for the truth. Those who are backslidden from the truth are invited to repent. Maybe you once knew the truth, but after a time, you find yourself that in an increasing way, you are just living a life of lies telling. You are invited to repent. All that is not built on truth will collapse. If your Christian life is not built on truth, if your business is not built on truth, if your marriage is not built on truth, if your family is not built on truth, if your education is not built on truth, if whatever you are doing, your relationship is not built on truth, it's only a matter of time that will collapse. The children of truth belong to the Lord Jesus and they love him. Those who walk in truth, the children walk in truth, they actually belong to the Lord Jesus. The children of truth are devoted to the Lord Jesus and they serve him. The Lord Jesus, who is truth incarnate, can only fellowship with those who follow him wholeheartedly, in truth, wholeheartedly, in all their ways. We make truth our aim and our way. Make truth the goal of your life. Decide that you walk in truth. Decide that you will speak the truth. Decide that when you open your mouth to speak, if somebody was to see your heart, what your mouth has said will be exactly what is in your heart. So we have seen some, look at some thought on falsehood. We have looked at some thought on lies telling or on truth. We want you to just confront. Supposing you were to be told, you were to be introduced somewhere that you are called a liar in a public meeting. And that was, there was a man in the Bible called Jacob. He inherited the life of lies telling. His grandfather told a lie. Then his father told a lie. And finally, when he reached him, he was actually named a deceiver because the lies in his family background had matured to the extent that his name was called a deceiver. And he lived such a life. Because you can pass across to the next generation the life of falsehood, the life of lies telling, and your children are watching at you. The people around you are watching at you. If you are a spiritual leader, the people are watching at you. They are looking at your life, whether you are walking in truth or you are living a life that is false. You better begin to walk in truth because people are copying you and people will copy you. If falsehood breaks your relationship with God, if falsehood will take you to hell, if falsehood means that whatever you are doing will collapse, then it is important for you to come to that point where you decide that here and now I separate myself from all falsehood. And that's what we are sharing this. And if you would do that, freedom from all falsehood, if you would do it, the first thing that you need to do is to examine your heart. You need to come to this point where you actually examine your heart. As with any other sin, no one can know freedom unless he first of all accepts that he has a problem with that particular sin. You can never know freedom from falsehood, from lies, from hypocrisy, from deceit, from all those things in your life that God does not want, unless you come to that point when you accept that they are there. You cannot be delivered from what you are first of all protecting, you are first of all covering. You must come to that point when you accept that this thing is in my life. God does not want it. And you must know where that thing will take you to. It will take you to hell. You must equally know you are already suffering the consequences of that sin here on earth. The broken relationship with God, the broken relationship with people, the fact that people cannot trust you. And first of all, you cannot even trust yourself because you are living a lie. So a moment should come. There is a need for a man to search his heart. Again, the psalmist cried, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thought and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." When there's wicked ways in your life, you do not know the way everlasting. Like the psalmist, you should cry to God, "Lord, search me." I should cooperate with God and search your heart to know whether there are falsehood, there are manifestations of falsehood in your life. There are some areas of consideration in searching your heart. So there are some areas you can, as you are searching your heart, you can consider. Example, are there manifestation of hypocrisy and dishonesty in your act, in your word, in your thought, in your motive? Just reflect. Do you play hypocrisy? Do you play dishonesty in your action, in your word, in your thought, and in your motive? When you do things, are you acting or you are true in your word? Do you hide from being known? At the moment that you cover the truth, you are in public, you don't want people to know you. You pretend, you cover up many things about your life so that nobody will know you. You are living a life that is false. Mm-hmm. Do you present only the good side of your life. You always talk about your success, only the area of your success, but nobody ever knows about your failure. Life is not like that. In every life, there are successes and there are failures. If people only know just the areas of your failure, you may be living a life of a hypocrite. All I hide and cannot tell one to whom I love, I owe loyalty and submission is questionable. When you are going somewhere, what are the things in your life that the person you owe loyalty to, the person you call your leader, the person you ought to be submissive to, does not know? What are you covering? The thing that you cover, that when they ask you, you start covering here and there, means that you are living a life that is full of lies. There is an unwillingness to honestly answer some question publicly because of fear to be known by others for who you are. You fear to honestly answer some questions. If somebody were to be ask you, how is your prayer life? You start stammering. If somebody were to ask you, how often do you read your Bible? You start stammering. Just be straight. If you are failing in an area, God is not looking for supermen. First of all, God values people who are true. If you are covering up areas of weaknesses in your life, those areas of weakness in your life become vipers that will ruin your life. Just be true and say, I am not doing well here. I need help. So these are some of the areas you can consider as you search your heart to be able to put your life right. Do you make promises to pray for someone or pray for something and you don't pray? There may not be promises. Sometimes somebody tells you, thank you very much for praying. You say, it's all right. But you never prayed. You did not pray. How can you be telling somebody is fine when somebody is thanking you for what you did not do? That's a life of being forced. You are living a life of falsehood. You promised to visit somebody, but you never went. But even when you were making the promise, you knew that you would not go. You promised, I will come. But when you know you will not come, why don't you just tell the person, no, I will not come? Does somebody ask you, maybe, can you give me 50,000? And then you say, I don't have, when the money is in your pocket. You are lying. The money in your pocket does not belong to the person. It's not the person's responsibility to get it from you. You can tell him, yeah, I have it, but it's for something else. Why do you want to tell a lie? Pretending to look spiritual by keeping quiet in the midst of others. The person who keeps quiet when he ought to speak is living a life of falsehood. In other words, you need to examine your life. Do you stay with someone and then you are holding grudge, bitterness in your heart against the person, but you keep quiet about it? You are living in falsehood. You know you have a problem with someone and then you can't sort it out. You hold it in your heart. All those who hold grudges in their heart, they are false. You pretend to love someone in order to exploit him. You are way closer and manifesting love because you are targeting strategic closeness in order to exploit. It's called falsehood. You are just being false. You may even be strategically going close to someone of the opposite sex. Meanwhile, you are intending something, a wrong intention. You are false. You exaggerate a story. You are speaking, telling a story, and then you exaggerate it, or you forget a portion of the story, and then you complete it with your own word. Thus, a manifestation of falsehood. A person who is fools living in falsehood, he does think he's an eye servant. He does think when people are watching at him, when nobody's eye is on him, he does nothing. Why don't you just ask yourself, if there was no one to put an eye on you, what would you not do? The thing that you will not do if you are doing them now, you are being false. wrong motive in fasting. You fast to look spiritual. You fast to please others. Then the desiring to have the physical form of someone else. Or imitating, you start talking as someone who has just gone to America. When you have never gone to America, you are just being false. Why don't you just be natural? Why don't you just be yourself? So there are areas you can examine your life and know whether you are living in falsehood or not. You examine yourself and you actually know, am I living in falsehood or not? If you have examined your life, what then are you to do? We are looking at freedom from all falsehood. We have said the first thing is that a man should be in a position to acknowledge, I am false, I am living in falsehood, I practice hypocrisy, etc. Then the next thing, a man should sit down and search his heart and examine his heart to be able to pinpoint the areas of falsehood. You cannot repent from falsehood in a general way. You cannot just say, God, forgive me for all the falsehood I normally practice. You have to repent of them one by one. After you have done that heart search, what are you supposed to do? What must the person who is lying and practicing falsehood do in order to be set free? Number one, he must be willing to terminate with all falsehood in his life. If you are not willing to terminate with all falsehood in your life, you can never know freedom from falsehood. Not just some. If a person wants to terminate with some area of falsehood and keep some area, you can never know freedom. It is an all or none hypothesis. You decide and say, it is all. I will separate myself from all falsehood. All who want to be delivered from falsehood must be prepared to come to God. It is God who can set you free. You cooperate with God. You come to God and tell God, look, Lord, I am a liar. I have practiced falsehood all my life. I have lied against you. I have lied against the Holy Spirit. I have lied against man. You pray such a prayer to God, and I'm fully aware that this act of lying and this practice of falsehood stand against me. And they say to me that I am fake, that my conversion could be fake. Why don't you just be true and make such a prayer to God? God, just tell God what you have discovered about yourself. Tell the Lord, Lord, however, I know that I can have, that I have truly believed. I want, therefore, to commit myself to you, to be true, to be holy, and I commit myself to you, never to tell any lie or practice any falsehood knowingly from this moment onward. I have no strength of my own to live out this commitment, but I count on your own strength to be made perfect. For me, in my weakness, I yield my mouth to you to be used for speaking the truth. I also yield my mind to think the truth, and I also yield my body and my all in the pursuit of the truth. You need to make a prayer to God, a commitment to God, because only God can do it for you. And if you pray genuinely, in a genuine way, God will step in and God will deliver you. Then immediately begin to actively practice truth where you used to practice falsehood. It is a conscious decision. If you used to play hypocrite, just tell yourself, I will be a hypocrite no more. The following example will help you. Did you vow to the Lord? If you make a vow to God to do something, to give a certain sum of money to him, if you made a vow to God to start praying, if you made a vow to God to start praying for somebody, go back and keep your vow. God has no interest in fools. And that's what the Bible says. It is better to make no vow than to make a vow and not keep it. That's the commitment of a fool before God. Are you practicing falsehood in your sexual life?
In other words, do you commit fornication or adultery in your thought, in your act? Is there a relationship with someone of the opposite sex that you fear, you know it will fear the light? That means you are living in falsehood. What should you do? Terminate with it immediately. If you have any sin in the realm of your finances, in other words, how is your financial life? Have you borrowed money from people and you pretend as if you don't remember? Do you owe tithes and offering to God? Are you coveting things? Are you planning to buy things that you don't need? Are you just trying to live your life imitating others and not living the life who you are? Have you forgotten that you are totally different from others? Just decide to be yourself. What of your testimonies? Have you given a testimony and that a part of your testimony, you just added some light, you just completed from your head? If you have done that, go and carry out repentance. That was a lie, that was falsehood. And if such a testimony has been published in a book, what you should do, go and let the next edition of that book correct the lie that you told. Then there's a lot of falsehood in singing. It is an offense to God to sing about the surrender of all to God when all has not actually been surrendered. It's a lie. You cannot be saying, oh Lord, I surrender all, when you are not even committed to surrender all. To sing that you love the Lord when you do not. You cannot be singing that you love the Lord when you are totally living, loving the world. And the Bible says, all who love the world are enemies of God. To sing that you feel his presence when you do not even feel his presence is a lie. To sing that you are eagerly waiting for his return when actually you want his return to be delayed is a lie. To sing that you are prepared to give everything or that you have given everything up for his sake when you have not given everything up for his sake is a lie. So there's a lot of lies telling in singing. There are some songs that some people should not sing. Many of the songs people are just repeating. Those were the songs when people had entered into deep transaction with God. They started singing as a manifestation of an encounter that they had with God. To sing about the overflow of joy of your heart for him, which is actually not there, is a lie. To ask him by a song to do something in your life that you do not actually want him to do is a lie. Why don't you just decide that every song you sing will be the truth? Practice truth. Sing the verse that you can and leave out what you cannot. There are moments you should close your mouth when other people are singing because what you are singing is not true in your life. Then afterwards, you go and sit down and then you examine, why could I not sing this particular song? I could not sing this particular song because something is wrong in my life. Correct that area of your life, and the next time people are singing, you equally be able to sing that particular song. One of the ways to make progress in the school of truth is to learn to keep the mouth shut. The Bible says, in a multitude of words, sin cannot be found wanting. If you are always speaking and speaking and speaking, it will not be long before you start telling lies. So decide that you will speak little. Actually, God gives you 2 ears, 2 eyes, and only 1 mouth. When you see twice, you speak once. The person who has learned to speak only when he must speak, he will put an end to falsehood. Decide that you will not tell anything that you have heard or you did not see. People are just repeating stories. You heard something, and meanwhile, the person who told you may even have already exaggerated, and you go spreading it all over as if you were there. Repeat only what you saw. And remember, there are certain things you did not see well. It is better not to be a messenger of lies telling. Spreading lies all over the place. Why don't you ask yourself or tell yourself, I will speak only what I saw. And even all that I see, I will not speak. So, there is a price that you can pay
if you want, truly want to be true, to walk in truth. Tell yourself you will not repeat just what you hear. Ask yourself, was the person speaking the truth, what you heard? Did he consciously give an impression that was not exact? Can I honestly tell God that I'm persuaded that what is being said is the truth? If you cannot tell God that you are 100% persuaded that what is being said is the truth, don't say it. Walking in the truth is a commitment. It's a life that many people don't know. And it's a life that you can enter into it, and every one of us should enter into it. It is a commitment to walk right with God, to please God. Cry to the Lord to help you. Cry to the Lord, like the psalmist, cry out, Lord, lead me in thy truth and teach me. For that thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all day long. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your way. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 141, verse 3. Continue to walk with the Lord by increasingly forsaking falsehood, increasingly practicing truth. Know what is a lie and tell yourself, I wage war against that which is false. Know what is the truth and tell yourself, I am going to stand just like my master on what is the truth. And if need be, I will die for the truth. And if need be, even if I'm the only one, I will speak the truth, because truth will always win. So acknowledge if there are falsehood in your life, those specific areas. Then turn to the Lord in repentance. Repent for each of them one by one. And then carry out restitution. If you told a lie to somebody, go and tell the person, what I told you the other day was a lie. I am sorry. And start walking in the truth. Cry out to God for his freedom. Then ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, to give you the power that you walk in the truth and receive the boldness from the Lord to stand by the truth. And commit yourself that you stand by the truth. Even if those who are walking in falsehood seem to be succeeding, know that the truth will eventually win. Those who walk in the truth will eventually succeed. Even if the world knows you as a failure, God knows you as a success. Commit yourself to walk in the truth, and you will please God in everything. You cannot total freedom from all falsehood if you have decided in your heart and you turn to the Lord and cooperate with God and tell yourself, there will be no lie in me, there will be no hypocrisy in me, there will be no deceit in me, I will never exaggerate, I will never cover up that which I ought to say, I will walk in the truth. And those who walk in the truth will find life, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. Walk in the truth, and you will never regret walking in the truth. May God bless you.